If you praise the Lord faithfully and you smile, how many of you know the Bible says, say the Bible says.
The Bible says.
The Bible says smiling is like medicine for you.
Amen.
Right? That laughter does good like a medicine.
Yes.
Now, there are some people who would never skip their medicine. In fact, everything is on pause. I'm out of my medicine. We've got to go to Walmart. I told you, I'm out of my medicine. Everything stops if you don't have your medicine. But I marvel that there are people who can go through a day without smiling. And some people look like you need to put a gun to their head to get them to smile. But I just had you say it, and you heard yourself say it. I have a reason to smile. Say it again. I got a reason to smile. Say,
I'm full of joy.
Say, everywhere I go, I'm favored of God. Say that again. Everywhere I go, I'm favored of God. Everybody show me your hands. Look at your own hands. Show them to your neighbor. Tell them, say, I got blessed hands. Say, everything I touch, everything I touch prospers for His name's sake. Look at your feet a minute. I'm going to give you a minute because some of y'all are going to have to look longer than others. Go ahead, look at your feet. Point at your feet. Say, I have blessed feet. Do it.
I have blessed feet.
Say, everywhere I put my feet,
God gives that ground to me.
Everywhere.
Everywhere
I go. Every place I put my feet, God gives that ground to me. For His name's sake. How many of you said that every day? If the first thing you did when you got up was looked at your hands and said, these are blessed hands. And then you went on to say, I got blessed feet. See, many of you, when you get up, first thing that comes to your head is, what's going to tear up now? Oh, that figures. I knew it. Right? See, you can change your destiny.
Amen.
Look at me.
Yes.
You can change your life. Many of you have struggled your whole life. You felt like your life is one train wreck after another. And some of it was your own doing, and some of it you didn't have anything to do with it. You were just watching it happen. You felt helpless, and you felt like you can't change. This is just the way it is for you. This is how it always goes down. But that's the beauty of knowing Jesus.
Amen.
Because if you know Him, everything changes. Say everything.
Everything.
See, He not only the Bible says He changes everything about you. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, if you're in Christ, behold, the old things have passed away.
Right.
Let me hear y'all say, my old man's dead.
My old man's dead.
That's part of the reason you're smiling. Say it, my old man's dead.
My old man's dead.
That's right. That means who you used to be is dead.
Yeah.
Who you used to be is dead.
Amen.
The scripture says you're a new creation. Now listen, He not only changes everything about you, He changes everything about what you can expect. I have a CD back there. It's called Increase Your Expectations.
Amen.
You need to get it. If you don't already have it, you need to get it. It talks about no matter where you are in your life, no matter where you are in the continuum of serving Him, one thing I can tell you for sure, I may not know your name, I may not know anything about you, I know this, you need to increase what you're expecting.
Amen.
You need to increase your expectations. How do you do that? You start expecting what you touch to prosper.
Amen.
You start expecting where you go for God to give that to you. Amen?
Amen.
Say it again. I got blessed hands.
I got blessed
feet.
I got a reason to smile. Amen.
So glad to be with you. As Pastor said, it's been since 1992 I've been coming here. That's a long time. How many of you here already know the answer to this to some degree, but how many of you were here that first service? Raise your hands. I knew that. This brother, how many of you know the Bible says we're blessed coming in and going out?
Amen.
Virtually every time I've ever come, this brother has helped me carry stuff in and helped me carry stuff out. And he did it that first time.
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
How many of you know that man's well trained?
Yes.
Well trained. The one who trained him is clapping for him right now. Glory to God. Well, how many of you have never heard me? Raise your hand if you've never heard me. I've been coming to quite a few of you. My name's Kim Clout. Just tell you a little bit about myself. I've been in full-time ministry 38 years. So this isn't my first rodeo. I've been doing this a long time. I grew up in this. I grew up in a ministry family. My family did gospel music ministry. Traveled all over the world. 116 countries. Literally all over the world. I was talking to my mom yesterday, and we were reminding each other. I was six, not quite seven, when we got our first house. And our first house was a camper trailer that you pull behind a truck. We parked it. Because I grew up on a bus. My family did gospel music ministry. They were in a different city and state every week, literally. Sometimes every night in a different city and state. So we didn't have a house till I was a little over 6 years old. Nobody heard of homeschooling back then, so Mom and I lived in that little trailer in Doraville, Georgia. Doraville, as the Atlanta Rhythm Section sang about. And I went to school and grew up in that little community, great place. Went to high school there, went to college right here in the Atlanta, Georgia area. I was rebellious, grew up with a ministry family, but I was a hellraiser, I'll be honest with you. How many of you here were rebellious? Oh, the rest of you, take your halo off and let's take another run of that. How many of you here were ever rebellious? Yeah, yeah. Don't lie in church. I was rebellious. Got into all kind of terrible stuff, drugs, alcohol, every deviant thing you can think of. And there was a brother that's come here today that's visiting, and he said, "Brother, I was there the night you got saved." Wow. He said, "I still remember you walking up there and that preacher pointing at you and you falling out." Amen. That's the way it went down. And I told him, what you may not know is I didn't get up till after midnight. God was doing surgery on me and I needed it. I have three friends that never made, two of my closest friends never made it to 20 years old. I used to think I'll get saved when I'm 40. You know, I'm going to party till then, and then I'll get saved when I'm 40 or whatever. But how many of you know you're not promised tomorrow? Right. Michael Jackson, Whitney Houston, Prince never thought that would be their last day. All the money in the world did not guarantee them another minute. You don't have a promise of tomorrow, and that kind of fell into my heart when I saw my three buddies buried. And so the night I went there, I wasn't going to church to get saved. Truth be told, I was there to sell a pound of dope that was in the trunk of my car. When the Spirit of God used that man, and he pointed at me and he said, "In the name of Jesus." Boom. Timber. I didn't get up after midnight, but when I got up, I was a new creation. And everything had changed. I have friends who are still going to 10-step and 12-step programs. For 40 years, they've been trying to get rid of their addictions. For me, it was like 30 steps to the altar.
Yeah. Amen. Amen.
And as Barney Fife would say, God nipped it. Yeah. Nipped it in the bud. So that I stand before you this morning, a new creation. When I was in college, I started playing a band that came right out of this city, the city of Atlanta. Anybody here remember Mylan and Broken Heart? Anybody remember that band? You have to have some age on you to remember that band. Two Grammy Awards the band won. Met my wife while I was in that band, and we got married, and she helped me to understand that we didn't need to start a marriage with me on the road 300 days a year. In fact, I like to tell people, it was early on, David, that I learned that many times the voice of the Lord has the sweet ring of estrogen. Every married man in this room knows what I'm talking about. The voice of God. So I quit the band, went into staff ministry right here in the Atlanta area. In fact, church I was on staff at, there's some very dear friends, a whole row of people here. I married this couple, I think we decided it was 28 years ago. And so I'm blessed to have David and Lila Parrott here this morning. Let them know you appreciate them being here. But I was on staff there almost 10 years, and then the Lord just showed us that he was changing the scope of our ministry from that local body to more the body. So for the last 28 years, I've been in full-time travel ministry all over the country. Delighted to be here this morning. If you're not familiar with our ministry, it has four portions to it. We have a Bible teaching ministry. Y'all like good Bible teaching?
Yes.
Got some CDs back there. Look at your neighbor and say, they'll change your life.
Because
it's the Word of God, and that's what the Word of God does. It never returns void. There's no question those CDs will change your life because they're from heaven. They're from God. Amen? Amen? So we have a teaching ministry. We have a music ministry. Y'all like good music?
Yes.
Give this praise and worship team a hand. They did a good job this morning. Very impressive. I'm going to play a little for you at the end of the service. And then we have two outreaches. We have addressed already, pastors touched on it. We need to go to the ends of the earth to reach the lost. Amen?
Amen.
Because if you go to the end of the earth, how many of you know you find other worlds?
Yes. Yep.
But how many of you know there are other worlds in Forsyth County?
Yeah, that's true.
Come on, y'all.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, if you went two doors down into your neighbor's house, that's another world.
Yep.
Wouldn't you agree? Some of you, if you go to your brother-in-law's house, that's another world. Jesus said, go into all those worlds. And so we've endeavored to do that. 28 years ago, my wife and I started an outreach right here in America to Native American people. I believe any evangelistic endeavor starts here.
Amen.
I believe before I need to go to downtown Atlanta and start a soup kitchen, I better be sure my kids are fed. How many of you can connect the dots to what I've just said? Because you see, the Church of America has thought of going to other worlds all over. Jesus said, do that. But how many of you know, in many regards, we forgot about those whose land we have? Now, many of you in this room have their blood, right? Many of you in here have Native ancestry. How many of you know you do? Raise your hand if you do. Quite a few of you. Everybody look around. Look at that. Quite a few, virtually everybody that's good looking, too. That was God, wasn't it? You recognize. But how many of you know whether or not you have their blood, you have their land? For that reason, I don't believe I'm alone, that what my wife and I are doing that God called us to. He may not call you to quit your job and go do this as we have, but I believe we share responsibility. I genuinely do. And I believe at the end of this service, they're going to give you an opportunity to sow in our ministry. I believe God is going to use you to help us. Because quite frankly, that's how he does it. God don't write checks. He don't hand out $100 bills. He's not up in heaven going, Gabriel, print 20s and 50s. He doesn't do that. God shakes it loose where it already is. Wave your hand and say, I know that's right. So I believe God's going to speak to you today to help us, because we need your help. We have desperate people who need to hear the gospel. I didn't come here to talk about Native outreach. I'm just going to say about three sentences. Shortest lifespan of any ethnic group in America, Native Americans. Average lifespan, 39. Half of any other ethnic group. Leading cause of death, alcoholism. Not automobile accidents involving alcohol. They don't have cars, most of them. They literally die of something, I bet you don't know anybody that's ever had it. Disease of alcohol. Literal alcohol overdose. Leading cause of death. Not heart disease. Not diabetes. Alcohol. Teenagers, I see teens here. You know what the leading cause of death is among their teens? Suicide. Check this out. 13 times the national average. There's a group of Apache, Chiricahua and Mescalero Apache, where we go to in the White Mountain area of southeastern Arizona. We were there a number of years ago at Christmas. The week we arrived, the fourth little boy under the age of 10 had taken a pistol and blown his brains out. Had that happened anywhere else in America, Time Magazine, People, NBC, ABC, CBS, Fox, CNN, they'd all been there broadcasting live. You'd have seen their pictures in their Little League uniforms. You'd have heard each of them stories. You'd know their names.
Yeah.
The fact is, I doubt you ever heard about it. Because for our media and for virtually every American in America today, Native American people are out of sight. And so they're out of mind.
Yeah.
We never think about them. Where are they? Where did this happen? Here. America. Arizona. There's desperation. Desperation on America's Indian reservations today. The 10 poorest counties in the United States, all on Indian reservations. Poverty and indigence like you won't find in any inner city on our reservations. Here's the problem, church. We have their land. Chief Red Cloud of the Oglala Sioux spoke to Congress in the late 1870s. He said, you came and we shared everything we had with you freely. But no matter how much we gave you, you were never satisfied and you took more until you took all. And then you took us and you put us in a fence like your cattle. Only unlike your cattle, if we got out of the fence, you shot us. Pretty strong. Church, I believe we bear a responsibility today to make that right. I do. I believe that. That's what redemption is about. Changing. Redeeming from the curse. So God may not call you to do that, but I believe He will use you to help us. And so that's what I ask. Now, we believe Jesus died for everybody, don't you?
Yes.
Newton said for every action there's an equal and opposite reaction, right? Yes. So now, using your deductive reason, draw on your inner Sherlock Holmes. That's what the guys will have to do. Ladies, just do what you do. Your discernment will work. What's the opposite of an Indian? Of course. A cowboy. I know we got at least one here. He's got his boots and his hat. Any other cowboys here? Raise your hand if you're a cowboy. Thank you, sir. I remember you when I was here last time. Don't remember your name. What is it?
Mike.
How many of you believe Jesus died not only for Indians but cowboys?
Yes.
I'm convinced of it. We reach them as well. My wife does ministry using horses. She literally often sits on a horse, preaches, sings, does an entire service on the back of a horse. Let me hear you say, Shazam.
Shazam.
It's true. It's what she does. How many of you here like horses? Virtually everybody. Excellent. If you haven't already signed up, on that little table back there, she has a sign-up sheet. Look at your neighbor and say, it's free.
It's free.
We aren't going to solicit you for anything. We don't have anything to sell. It is used simply and solely to exhort you, to teach you Scripture, and to give you an insight you might never have had otherwise, using horses. Now, even if you're not a horse person, you may say, that's kind of weird, unless you've read your Bible. Because how many of you know the horse is mentioned in Scripture more than any other animal? And furthermore, Jesus is coming back on one. Ding, 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 ding. So if you don't already get it, say it again. It's free.
It's free.
All you have to do is put your email address back there. So sign up for it. I got a good word for you today. Look at your neighbor and say, this is going to be a good. It's going to be a good. And I believe you're going to be glad you came. I want to give you the quick etymology on this message today. I was sharing with your pastor. I was in my hotel room a couple weeks ago. I am a sound sleeper. Is he a sound sleeper?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, like my wife says, a tornado could come through. I would be out. At 3:35 in the morning, the Spirit of God woke me up in my hotel room. I sat straight up like I was wide awake. And the best way I know to tell you is we finally have a word in today's technology to explain what God has been doing for thousands of years. The word is download. Let me hear y'all say, download.
Download.
Say it with some swag and give me the hand motion. Let me hear y'all say, download. Young lady, you didn't use your hand. You're out of the will of God. Everybody do it. Don't make me come back there. Everybody do it. Download. Yes, right. It was a download. At 3:35 in the morning, I get a download, and there's a pad next to my phone, and they've got a little pin there from the hotel, and I get it, and I start writing. And I mean, just like you turn on a water faucet, it just came, toom, when it was done, it stopped. And I didn't study any of this. This is just, now listen. So what I'm telling you is today, God gave me a word for you. Now, if you know me well, I'm not that kind of guy that gets the glazed look in my eye and walks around to people and says, I've got a word from God for you. I've had people who do that to me, and many of them didn't have a word for themselves. So when I tell you I got a word for you, I'm not being esoteric or some spiritual giant. I'm just telling you straight up. I didn't have to study this. God just gave it to me 3:35 in the morning. And so many of you are prepared already. I want you to write down what I'm going to share today, not because I'm saying it, because it's from heaven. Now, here's the deal. A lot of times people say they got a word for you, and how many of you know it's an hour long? Well, you'll be delighted to know. I'm telling you today, I literally have one word. One word. One word. I got one word for you that the Lord gave me. Here's the word. Forgetting. Forgetting. In short, you need to forget.
Amen.
Now, husbands all over this room right now are going, I can do that. Now, that's my spiritual gift. I can forget. Let's be honest, guys. You don't remember what your wife said 10 minutes ago. I must hear it 1,000 times. Why didn't you tell me? Kim, I told you 3 times. You don't listen. Here's her favorite thing. She'll go, and she go, what did I just say? I'm not talking about, not that forgetting. God told me, your key, look me in the eye today, everybody. The key to your life, let me say it this way, the key to the rest of your life is in one word, forgetting. You need to forget. Well, what do you mean I need to forget? I don't want you to forget out of forgetfulness. Mm-hmm. What God's talking about here is what you need to forget. Look at me. I want you to get this. You need to forget the most unforgettable experiences of your life.
Amen.
That's what you need to forget. Now, this may seem a little bit strange right now and esoteric, but I'm going to show you, and your spirit's going to go, that's true. So what is the word, church? You need to forget. Now, let me just tell you, when I wrote this stuff down, what I'm getting ready to share with you, when I wrote it down, the first thing, how many of you know if you get a word from anybody that they claim is from God, how many of you know it could only be a word from God if it lines up with the word of God? So anytime somebody comes to you and says, I got a word for you, you need to immediately check and see, does that line up with Scripture? So when the Lord spoke to me and said, the key to my people is they need to forget. My first thought was, is that in the Bible? Let me hear y'all say, is that in the Bible? Say it. Say like your brother-in-law would.
Is that in the Bible?
Say, where's that in the Bible?
Where's that in the Bible?
Philippians 3:13. Amy, wonder if we could put that up on the screen. Philippians 3:13. Now, let me just share with you. The Apostle Paul wrote the book of Philippians. And it wasn't written as a book. It was written as a letter. He literally was writing a letter to the church at Philippi. Now, how many of you realize if you're writing a letter and God reads it and says, we're going to make that scripture. How many of you know, you the man? How many of you ever heard that phrase, you the man? How many husbands here have heard that from your wife? There was one wife here who went, you heard that? Get your hand up. Well, let's just take another run at it. Ladies, if you're married today, look at your husband. Guys, look back at her. Look him right in the eye, babe, and look at him and say, baby. Some of you haven't said that in a while, so take another run. Look him right in the eye and say, baby. You the man. Now, I believe every husband ought to hear that. Yes. Ladies, even if you have to be biblical and call that is not as though it were. Every man deserves to hear that. You the man. Yes. But how many of you know, if you write a letter and it becomes scripture, you are literally the man. I mean, I just envisioned Paul writing a letter and the Lord coming and standing over his shoulder and saying, what are you doing? writing a letter. Can you imagine if the Lord said, could I read it? Wow. I suspect you could. Can you imagine if the Lord picks it up and starts reading it and like 30 seconds in goes, this is good. This is excellent. You know what, son? We're going to make this scripture. Really? Yeah, this is excellent. We're going to make it scripture. Don't you know Paul's thinking inside, I've got others. Yeah, virtually the entirety of the New Testament are letters Paul wrote. They became scripture. So understand, when we read this verse, this isn't just somebody. You didn't hear this. Oh, who said it? I heard it on the TV. I don't know. Somebody the other day at work. No. This is the man said this. The man. The man said, brethren, I don't count myself yet to have apprehended. Meaning, I don't think I've become everything God wants me to be. Even though they may know me as the man 2,000 years from now, I don't know that I've really got to where I haven't arrived yet. But one thing I do. How many things is he doing?
One.
Is it a 10-step process?
No.
Is it a 12-step program?
No.
Is there a syllabus and a workbook?
No.
No, it's just one thing. And church, I present to you, what is the one thing he's doing?
Forgetting.
He is forgetting. God quickened me and said, yes, son, it's in my word. I used my servant Paul to teach you, you must forget. And what are we to forget? The most unforgettable experiences of your life.
Amen.
And so when I got this from the Lord, I got the download. Here's the first thing he told me. He said, tell my people they need to forget their sins.
Amen.
They need to forget their sins. Why would God, anybody, don't say it out loud, think for a minute. And when you think you've got the answer, raise your hand if you do. Why would God want you to forget your sin? Yes, sir.
So that I can be a blessing to others.
Good. So that you can go on and be a good guy. It's hard to be a good guy if your head's stuck in yesteryear and your past grievances against God. Yes, ma'am. Exactly. She did good. Go ahead and praise her for a minute. Look at her and say, you did good. Say, atta girl. Atta girl. If you didn't hear her, she said, the reason God wants you to forget, boom, because he has. Don't you see the power in that? God has forgot your sin. Why don't you? That's the fear of people, is God can't bless me because of what I've done. I started an outreach to young people down in the inner city of Atlanta years ago, 1979. And we were in a gymnasium and we got to where we had 2,000 kids every Monday night. But they would come and mill around the parking lot and stuff. And when it started, we had to kind of, it's like herd and catch. You got to get them all in. And so it was hot that night. And so I went out the back just to get cool air. And there was a young girl out there, and she was about 14 or 15, and I said, you need to go in, sweetheart. And she goes, but that's like a church, isn't it? It was a gym. I said, yeah. But I said, it's going to be fun. We got music. And she goes, no, I can't go. I said, of course you can. It's for you. She goes, no, I can't go in there. I said, why? She said, if I went in there, God would strike me dead. The things I've done, he would strike me dead. See, this is why people need to be told. She'd never been to church. She didn't know. Many of you have been all your life, but you need to be reminded.
Amen.
God has forgotten your sin.
Amen.
Now, he wants you to. Now, let's go back to our inner Sherlock Holmes. The only way he could forget your sin is if he's forgiven your sin. Agreed?
Yeah.
So let me ask you, does God have to forgive us? No. You and I can't make God do anything. He's omnipotent and omniscient. Nobody gives him orders. That's what I said. That don't work that way. God chooses to forgive us. So let me ask you, does God have to forget our sin? The Bible says he remembers every word you've spoken. So you don't have to do anything. He chooses to. And so if God chooses to forgive and God chooses to forget and we're to be as he is, how many of you see immediately we need to choose to forgive ourselves and then to forget our sin? Say this to me,
I choose
to forget
my sin.
It can be hard sometimes to forget your sin because perhaps you don't have troubles forgetting it. But someone who lives in your household does. Now, obviously, it's none of you. But how many of you know somebody who likes to remind you of your past wrongs? In fact, you do something wrong, and immediately they go, that reminds me. You did this in 92. You did it in 94. I think we both know what happened in 98. You did it again in 2006. I'm going to go ahead and tell you now, I put a hit out on you in 2006. The only reason you're breathing now, the check was, it bounced. We were overdrawn. And then I changed my mind. Clearly, there are people who remind us of our sin. Not God.
Right.
Not Him. The Scripture says He has put you as far as the east is from the west. You don't have to have a GPS to know that's a long ways. Yeah. As far as the east is from the west, from who you used to be. Incredibly, as God is concerned, it's as if though you never did it.
Amen.
Let me y'all say, that's good.
That's good.
Y'all know I like to say it like Andy Griffith. Everybody say, that's good.
That's good.
So I'll ask you rhetorically, what's the first thing God wants you to forget? Your sins. You need to forget your sin. Number two, He said, tell them they need to forget the sins of others. Remember, we're forgetting the most unforgettable experience that could be. Perhaps the most unforgettable experience of your life is what someone else did to you. In a room this big, there's somebody in this room who was physically abused as a child, emotionally abused as a child, sexually abused as a child. You don't forget those things. That doesn't just pass out of your psyche. It isn't over time you forgot it ever happened. That is something you have to daily decide to forget. But God told me to tell you, that memory is what has held many of you captive the entirety of your life. And I remind you what this dear lady said that the Spirit of God spoke to her today. He said, I stopped here to help you. And what He is stopping here to help you to do is to forget what was done to you. Everybody look me in the eye. Forget. Let it go. It doesn't mean it didn't happen. It doesn't mean you weren't raped. It doesn't mean you weren't divorced. It doesn't mean your daddy didn't do wrong to you. But what it does mean is you are no longer a victim of that.
Amen.
You may have lived as a victim up until today. But today, you can go out different.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Everybody pointed that door back there. Everybody. Say this. I'm going out different, than the way I came in. Say it again. I'm going out different, than the way I came in. How many of you want to go out different than the way you came in?
Yes. Amen. Amen.
Well, there's no forms to fill out.
Right.
I don't need to know your credit score or your body mass index. All you need to do is forget your sins and the sins of others. They no longer have power over you.
Amen.
We sang a song, He came to break every chain. That chain is broken. Say that. That chain is broken. In my life, the chain of abuse, broken. Chain of depression, broken.
Chain of fear,
broken.
Chain of suicide,
alcoholism. Drug addiction.
All of it.
Broken.
Broken.
Point at the door again. Say it.
I'm going out different
than the way I came in.
Those
are just words unless you obey God. And if you obey God, that is a word that will be life to you. Say it.
I choose to forget.
I choose to forget. Now, if God wants us to forget, what's also inherent in that? What else would He want us to do? Yes. Because you see, here's the carnal way. Here's the flesh way. Well, I may forgive, but I'll never forget. How many of you have ever heard that? How many of you have ever said it? How many of you, that's where you heard it?
Yeah.
The Bible says in Proverbs 18, there's power in your mouth.
Yes.
And that's why if you say out loud, I choose to forgive, I choose to forget. They don't deserve it, perhaps. But let's be honest, did you? Do you deserve to be forgiven? No, none of us do. So this isn't about whether they asked forgiveness or not. He doesn't deserve it. None of us do. No, forgiving and forgetting is an act of your will. You choose. Because how many of you know you're not setting them free? You're setting you free. Because here's the deal. You're holding anger and odd against her. You know what she's doing today? She's not in counseling over it. She's doing BOGO on shoes. She's showing somebody this great deal she got on a dress. She's not worrying about you. In fact, she hadn't thought about you in 20 years. It isn't changing her life. It's robbing you of yours. Let it go. Everybody take your index finger and show it to me. Excellent. Now take it and tap between your breast till it becomes annoying. Come on, till it annoys you. Lila, you're easily annoyed, aren't you? Come on. Don't agree, Dave. Don't agree. Tap. Now say this. Let it go. I don't have to. No, you don't have to. But would you like a shortened lifespan? You want years of anger management? How about fewer and fewer friends? The constant doubling of your medication. Irregularity. Yeah. You can have all of that if you just hold on to it. Say it. Let it go.
Let it go.
Say it. It's robbing you.
It's robbing you.
But today can be a day of history for you.
Amen.
Look at me. I'm talking about literally today can be the international dateline of your life. That your entire life is chronicled by everything that happened before September 11th, 2016, and everything that happened after. Because you see, on 2016, 9/11, that's when you chose to let go.
Amen.
Not only of your sins, but the sins of others. Stand up. We don't know each other, do we? I met you this morning for the first time. You ever been done wrong? Had people hurt you before?
Yes.
You didn't deserve that, did you? But it happened. But here's what I want you to say. I'm no longer a victim.
I'm no longer a victim.
I'm a victor.
I'm a victor.
I've been changed.
I've been changed.
From the inside out.
The inside out.
Nothing outside can change that.
And
I'm going out different today.
I am going out different today.
Than the way I came in. Say it again.
I'm going out different today than the way I came in.
That's right. Say this with me. Say, I'm no longer a victim.
I'm no longer a victim.
Now I'm a victor.
I'm a victor.
Say it again. I'm a victor.
I'm a victor.
In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Now I like how I'm looking around the room and all of a sudden a bunch of y'all are going, it's attractive carpet in here, isn't it? I never. Oh, and he's looking. It's a beautiful ceiling, too. I never noticed. What's your name, sweetheart?
Sue Ann.
Say it again.
Sue Ann.
Sue Ann. Do you know why I had Sue Ann stand up and say that? Was she saying it for my benefit?
No.
Who is she saying it for?
Her benefit.
Because how many of you understand, if I say something, it doesn't impact your life. But if you say it, it changes your life. That's why I'm having you speak this over and over and over, so that you hear it. See, your pastor's taught on this stuff before. But many of you may say, I don't know if I believe that way. And I'm up here speaking it, and you're thinking, I don't believe him either. But you know something? He's never called me and go, Brother Kim, they don't believe me. And I've never said, me neither, David. Listen to me. It's inherent. He and I understand there are some of you that don't believe us. But we understand why. Look at me. You know why you don't believe many ministries? Because some of you don't believe God. And if you don't believe God, you'll never believe me. But you know who you always believe? You. You believe you when you know you're lying. Come on, y'all. Don't play poker now. Come on. Some of y'all have told the same lie for so long, you think it's true now. Just because you said it. That is the power of your mouth. That's why I had you look at your hands and call your own hands blessed. That's why I had you look at your feet and call your feet blessed. Because I can say it and you don't believe it. You say it, you believe it. Stand up, sir. You ever had people do you wrong? I know. And it's followed you for years, hasn't it? But it isn't going to follow you anymore. In fact, you don't even have to look back again. Because it ain't there. It ain't there. You are as far as the east is from the west from that. And when you walk out of here today, you can look any man in the eye. Because you're a child of the Most High. Say this with me. I'm more than a conqueror through Him that loves me. I am never ashamed. I'm never fearful. I never doubt. I have total confidence in Him through me. In Jesus' name. Amen. Bless you. Bless you. Amen. There are people in this room who've known me for 30 years and know I'm not this guy. I'm not the guy that pulls people out of a crowd and tells them stuff. That's the Spirit of God. Remember what the Lord said. I stopped here today for you. For you. For every one of you in this room so that you could know you no longer have to live your life based on what has happened. Because what has happened has been broken. Its impact, its consequence, its savagery, the way that it has destroyed things in your life. Things you thought were forever broken, God says, I can fix. Amen. What you thought was forever lost, God says, I can restore. Amen. Let me hear y'all say, that's what He said. But just like the Word, how many of you know just because He said it, it won't change your life? It's when you say what He said. Are you with me? Third thing God said you need to forget. You need to forget your failures. Your failures. Boy, that is an area the Lord showed me that has defined many people. Many people have allowed failures in their life to define them. And other people think they're a failure. Their family calls them a failure. They think they're a failure. But how many of you here have ever failed? Raise your hands. Well, everybody in the room. But how many of you know that only defines you if you stop there? Failure's not a stopping point. It's a launching point. Failure is what gets you to success. Let me ask you, how many of you ever here just got on a bike and rode it when you were a kid? Give me that and rode it. I didn't. Well, I'm impressed, brother. You need to lay hands on everybody else here. That's cool. Because that wasn't, you know what my dad did when he taught me how to ride a bike? Every guy in this room knows what he did. First of all, he waited till my mother was out of town. He did. Yep. And he said, boy, get your bike. I said, you want me to get my training wheels my cousin gave me? You going to put them on? He goes, training wheels, schmaining wheels. Bring the bike here. And every man in this room knows where he took me. A hill. He took me to a hill. And what did he do? He released me. He launched me. He pushed me. And I go screaming. I rode for about 20 feet till I realized I'm riding, and I dumped it. And immediately started crying. Mom! You know what my dad said? She's miles away, son. Push the bike up here. She's miles away. Push the bike up here. Exactly. Put me on it. Pushed me. You know what I did? I rode it. Here's the deal. Failure was ultimately part of your success in riding a bike. And of course, they say, once you learn, you never forget. So what is that? That means once you learn from failure, You learn how to succeed. In fact, that's the only way most of us ever succeed is through repeated failure. The character in your life is what you do on the 10th or 12th try. Now, if I'm anything, I'm a lot of things that I shouldn't be. I'm a lot of things that I'm not a lot of things I want to be. Let me tell you what I am. I don't quit. And whatever success I've ever had in my life is simply because I'm not going to quit.
Amen.
I learned in high school and college playing athletics, there were a lot of guys bigger, stronger, faster than me. But if I just never would quit,
right.
I could beat them. Because many of them didn't have mental strength. Physical strength only take you so far.
Right.
And people get tired. People get discouraged. People get down. And they act like trash talk is something new. I would run my mouth going up and down. You can't guard me. If I dunked on somebody, that's the end of it. So I look at him, go sit down. Go sit down. You can't guard me. Get somebody off that bench and can guard me because you can't guard me. I'd tell him talk to him the whole game. And many people, that's all it takes.
Yeah.
If you convince them, like, you got a point there. Now, some of them scoffed at me and said, bring it again, sucker. And the next time down there, they may slap my shot into the 20th row. What now, sucker? I didn't say, you got a point there. I'll sit down. I just said, do it again. You can't do it again. He may do it again. What? You can't do it again. The greatest champions in life typically aren't the strongest people. They're not the smartest people. They're not the most intelligent people. They're not the wealthiest people. They're just people who don't quit. Say this to me. I don't quit.
I don't quit.
I don't quit from failure. That's part of my success.
Failure doesn't define me.
I don't care what your credit score is. I don't care if you've been fired from 10 jobs. The best job you've ever had in your life is the one just ahead of you.
Amen.
Don't you allow anyone else to define you from your failures, because God does not.
Amen.
What's the word? Forgetting. You need to forget your sin. You need to forget the sins of others. And you need to forget your failure. Take your index finger, tap a little, say it, let it go. The fourth thing God told me you need to forget. This may come as a surprise. We know we should forget our failures, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you can see that's healthy. Forget about it.
Yeah.
Oh, anybody here from up north? Dave, Michigan, isn't it? Where are you from? Boston. You know how they say it up there, don't you? Forget about it. Stand up and say it for us. Say it.
Forget about it.
There you go. Let me hear everybody in the room say it like she just did. Forget about it. That's what the Spirit of God is saying to you this morning. Somebody says, what did he preach on? Forget about it. It's easy to connect the dots and see we should forget failures and troubles and hardship, right? To me it is.
Yeah.
Number four might shock you.
Yeah.
God said, tell them they need to forget their successes. I see some of you already going, what? I have to put the trophy up? Now, is that in the Bible? Yes. I need to acknowledge something here. This fourth point is weighted more in the direction of testosterone than estrogen. And I'll explain why. Does he ever help you with the dishes? He doesn't. Well, can you imagine? Use your faith. Can you imagine him helping? Yeah. Right?
I got a vision.
Get a vision of it. Don't limit God. So let's get a vision. Y'all are you're washing, he's drying. Okay? You with me, brother? You on board? You on board? Come on, she needs to hear you. All right. So y'all are washing coffee cups and saucers. Now, washing a saucer is a pretty innocuous thing, right? Does Dave ever help you do dishes, Lila? Yeah, just about that much, she said. Well, any guy who, if you're a man here, a married man, and you help wash or dry, raise your hand, guys. Excellent, impressive. Now, on the back row, drying and washing a saucer is a pretty innocuous thing, isn't it? Not much to that. But now, any man will tell you, washing and drying a coffee cup is a different affair entirely. And it isn't so much the washing or the drying, it's putting it up. So you see, you're washing, he's drying. He dries the saucer, puts it up just like he should. Now he's drying the cup. However, he knows, he's thinking. And see, here's the way it was explained to me. I remember the first time I helped dry. You just don't put a coffee cup up willy-nilly. No. You put a coffee cup up with the handle perpendicular to every other handle. At least that's the way it was explained to me. And so he's drying the cup, and he's thinking, he's already thinking, you know, he's thinking ahead of how he's got to line this handle up. And in the thinking, he's distracted momentarily. He drops the cup. However, with quick reflexes, he catches it before it hits the floor.
Nice.
Now, you've done that before, haven't you? Sure. Did you notice how she didn't even have to think? She said, yeah. And when you did it, you went on with the rest of your day, didn't you? You probably didn't even tell anybody. I mean, you didn't like alert the media or anything, did you? No. But that's you. This is him. This could be any guy. You see, when we catch the cup, what happens? Did you see that? Did you see that? I'm like a cat. I'm serious. I am like a cat. Did you see how close it was to the floor? And I caught it. I'm telling you, I could have been a pro. This reminds me, it was third quarter. It was homecoming. We were down 2 touchdowns, and the coach put me in, and your wife says, hold it right there, honey. Kids, bring the trophy and the newspaper articles. Dad's telling a story again. Anybody here grow up in church and remember hymnals?
Yes.
Y'all remember there was a hymn called I Love to Tell the Story?
Yes.
That could be every man in this room's deal. Any man in this room, any fisherman here? You like to fish? Cool, Drew. Have you ever caught a 10-pound bass?
Not bass.
But let's say if you caught it, you're out here on Lanier, you catch a 10-pound bass. What is any fisherman going to do with that bass? Yes, sir. On the wall. Well, a selfie or two, and then on the wall. And here's the deal. If Drew caught that fish, you could go to his house and just be looking for water for your overheated truck. But if you walk in that room where that fish is, he's going to go. You see that? It's 15. 15. 15 pounds. Only a pound and a half short of the lake record, which I think is 16.7 for Lanier. 15 pounds. That's right. Yeah, I got him in March. The water was stained. The barometer was falling. It was 58 degrees. I had been fishing all day with a spinnerbait. I put a plastic worm on, second cast. Ba-boom. I set the hook, man, and he was pulling the boat. He was pulling the boat, wasn't he? And Pastor was skiing behind it, wasn't he? He was pulling the boat. And he'll tell you that whole story, and you'll say, when was that? 94. That's 20 years ago. But he'll tell you the story like it's yesterday. We love to tell the story. Any outdoorsman, what's he got mounted right next to the 10-pound bass?
Deerhead.
No, that's a buck, brother. That's not Bambi. That's a buck. That's a 10-point buck, nearly 200 points on the Boone and Crockett scale. That's right. And furthermore, I got him with a bow. I did. No arrow. No arrow. I got him with a bow. That's how I roll. You know what God says? Stand up and say it.
Forget about it.
Forget about it. Why would God want you to forget? Remember, the most unforgettable. Sometimes the most unforgettable things are your exploits, your successes. When Jupiter was aligned with Mars. That was an old fifth dimension song. Y'all remember that? The Age of Aquarius. Okay, anyway. How many pastors have quoted the Age of Aquarius in a message? That time when everything aligned and you did perfect. You know what God's saying today?
Forget about it.
Why? Why would God want you to forget your success? Absolutely. Because how many of you understand throughout the 400 years of slavery the Israelites were in, they finally got set free, and they could have walked that week into the promised land, but they started griping and complaining. And then every time God did something wonderful, they were like, Shazam, this is it. Let's build an altar here. And they tried to stop every time God did something. They said, this is it. And the Lord finally had to say to him, I'm doing a new thing. Can't you see it? It springs up. And I'm doing it now. You see, God's always doing something new.
Amen.
And so you can't stop and build an altar to your success, enjoy it, and then move on. Because you know what? Your greatest success is the one ahead of you. Say it, Andy Griffith. That's good. It is good. So four things. What does God want you to forget? What else? Your success. Even your success, let go of it. Because your greatest success is ahead of you. Say,
my greatest joy
is ahead of me. My healthiest days ahead of me. My most prosperous days. My most productive days. My most joyful days. My biggest smile. Best joke I ever heard. Best lick I ever played. Where is all of it, church? Ahead of me. Put that verse up again, Amy, if we could. Philippians 3:13. Who said this?
The man.
The man did. The man said, I don't consider myself yet to have arrived. I'm not there yet. But this one thing I do. I'm forgetting anything that's behind me so that I can reach forward to those things which are ahead. Amen?
Amen.
Point at that door. Say it again. I'm going out different. Than the way I came in. I'll never look back. Bow your heads. Close your eyes.